Good evening, everyone. I am delighted, honored, pleased to be here, and I have a preaching partner right here, and so the baby and I are going to take you into this text. I'm bringing you greetings from the people at Arch Street who all said, oh, you're going to Broad Street today, and so they're all jealous because they want to be here because they know the good work that's done here, and they know that we are a part of one community together. And so greetings from Arch Street staff, pastors, members, visitors, and friends, and thank you for inviting me on this day. I'll invite you to pray with me briefly, and then we will preach this text, the God who heals us. Loving God, we thank you for this moment and pray that you would bring us to our resting heartbeat, that you would calm our anxieties, that you would hold all of our cares, and that you would open our ears that we might hear a word directly from you, encourage us, embolden us, and strengthen us. And now, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For God, you and you alone are our rock, you are our strength, you are our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Earlier this week, when I was sitting with the text and thinking about how cool it is when the gospel writer gives you a story, because stories are the easiest things to preach, unless they're from Mark. Mark writes almost like he's writing political cartoons. It's never exactly what is presented. There's always something slick included when Mark is telling a story. Mark is always telling the story, and he's also telling the story behind the story if you have an ear for how to listen for it. So I'm thinking about Bartimaeus. I'm thinking about this one who was called a blind beggar. I'm thinking about the God who heals us, and I'm thinking about the person in the congregation who is looking at my leg and notices that I have a knee brace and is thinking, wait, they brought the broke preacher to preach to us about the God who heals? Her credibility is already shot. But I say that to you to say this: healing is not always a one and done. Healing is also a process. In this story that Mark presents, some of us who have grown up in church, who have heard this story a million times before, we only know Bartimaeus by his nickname, Blind Bartimaeus. Oddly enough, Bartimaeus isn't even his actual name. Bartimaeus means son of poverty. It means son of the unclean. I told you, Mark always has something extra up his sleeve. Bartimaeus is not his name, but that's what we call him. We call him Blind Bartimaeus. We call him a blind beggar. Before he can even enter the story, before we can know anything else about him, we know he has a physical ailment and we know that he's broke. He's broke and he's broken, and that's how Mark wants us to enter this story. I would suggest that maybe there's a different way to see son of Timaeus. Maybe there's a way to see a person who wasn't always blind and who wasn't always a beggar. And so I asked the question, well, did he become a beggar because he was blind and he couldn't see his way to a career? He couldn't see his way to do the things he used to do. He couldn't have a craft. He couldn't use his hands. He couldn't make an income because of his vision. Or possibly, is it the reverse? Did he become blind because as part of his begging, someone had done him harm? Someone figured, well, you're already a beggar. You're already halfway down. I might as well knock you all the way down, and did something that took his sight. We don't know. We just know that he's sitting by the roadside. For some, the miracle in this story is the miracle that happens for this man who was once labeled blind beggar. I don't think anyone walked in the door and picked up a name tag and wrote blind beggar on it. I also did not write broken leg preacher. When you meet this man, you see him sitting by the roadside. What the text also suggests but does not state, if they're coming to Jericho and they're on the Jericho Road is more dangerous than 76 when the traffic is actually moving. The Jericho Road is not a place you want to be stranded. AAA doesn't come there if you have a flat tire. If you're on the Jericho Road, the only people out there are people who wish to do you harm. So you've got this man who's sitting by the roadside. He cannot see the danger that's coming to him. He cannot get up and move anywhere to get away from the danger. He's just sitting and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And he begins to make noise. And if you've ever been in a place where people want to keep you quiet, you know what happens when you begin to make noise. I'll start with a light example. When I go to my eateries and to my coffee spots, if I get a cup that has my name but does not have my beverage, I read it, and then I begin making noise. Pumpkin spice latte. That is not what I ordered. And then I begin to make more noise because I want to be heard. I want to be noticed. I want someone to attend to this mistake that has been made in my name. And so I continue to make noise. And sometimes people will, it's just a mistake. Don't worry. And they'll hush me. But because I'm well vested in this Starbucks cup of coffee that cost me $4.99, I do want the actual beverage that I chose because I want to get what it is I was asking for. I want the beverage that has my actual name on it, not person who is starving and will accept any caffeinated beverage, but person who really needs a decaf because she already had coffee early this morning. So I begin to make noise, and there are people who would shush me. How much more so for this person sitting by the side of the road who begins to make noise because he has a need. And his order is about to be filled. He is about to cry out, and the crowds who are walking with Jesus begin shushing him. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I see you, though I'm blind. I recognize you, even though I can't see you, but I know it's you. And what it means when I know it's you is that you know it's me. I can't see you, Jesus, but what I can see is who you are, and that is the one who said that you came to give sight to the blind. And so I'm calling you out on the promise that you made. You said that you came to give sight to the blind. Here I am. Give me sight." And just like church people, just like people who hold Jesus and want Jesus all to themselves and want all of the mercy of God for themselves, because heaven forbid Jesus should have mercy on someone else because that might cut into my mercy. As if God doesn't have enough mercy for all of us in the room. If each one of us were to cry out in this moment, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," there is enough mercy and then some for every need in this room and those outside the room. The text says many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly. Even when those around you who seem to be in power, who seem to be in the place with the mic, who seem to be in control of the crowd, when those people would shush you, cry out even more loudly. Jesus already hears the man crying out. He already has the attention of the Messiah. This second cry is not for the Savior, but it is for the crowd. Crowd, I want you to know that I trust this Messiah so much that I want him to be all of who he said he was in this moment, not just for me, and here's the miracle, but so that you who have been walking with him, you who have taken him for granted, you who have been too close to him for too long can see he really did come to fulfill his promise. "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the text says Jesus stood still. Imagine Jesus and all of those around Jesus, the Jesus crowd, the Jesus followers, the Jesus groupies. They're all walking along this road with Jesus, and they're just glad to be with Jesus. Their name tag says, "With Jesus." So if anyone, I'm with Jesus. I'm here. I'm important. I'm valuable. I'm just with Jesus. But do you know Jesus? Well, no, but I'm just with Jesus. How many times have you ever run into people who are so busy knowing Jesus and being with Jesus that they forget that Jesus is for all of us? The message for the church, for the community of the church, the gathered community, is don't ever get so possessive about Jesus that you forget that Jesus is here for all and for each and for every. Jesus stood still, and I'm sure I have in my sick imagination, the crowd has been moving forward. They're walking down the road, and Jesus stands still, and they begin bumping into each other because they're so busy being with Jesus that they forget to see what Jesus is doing. He stands still, and everyone else is forced to stand still. He controls the traffic, And he says, call him here. He could have healed Bartimaeus from wherever he was. He could have spoken and he would have been healed. He could have kept moving and given him an on the way blessing and he would have still been healed. But Jesus stops and calls attention to the moment, says, call him here. I'm not going to call him here because I've already brought him here. I want you, crowd, followers of me, those of you who say that you love me, those of you who say you want to be my followers, call him here. It is the job of those of us who know Jesus to open our arms and invite others in and to call them here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And it's as if in that moment, they too remembered the promise that Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Check. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Check. And recovering of sight to the blind. Check. And to set at liberty those who are bruised. Jesus does all of these things, even in this moment. The miracle is not just for the man who regains his sight, but it's for the community that learns that you can move from 6 degrees of separation to 360 degrees of full circle community and communion. He springs up, throws off his cloak, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man could have asked him for anything. This is the Messiah. He could have asked for a meal. He could have asked for clothing. He could have asked for revenge on all those people who had shushed him previously. He could have asked for anything, and he simply says, my teacher, let me see again. I used to be able to see. If you will just give me my vision, I promise I'll use it for yours. If you will allow me to see, I won't have to sit by the side of the road. I can go and greet others who are sitting by the side of the road because now I can find them. Now I can look for them. Now I can bring them to you in the same way that you came to me. Jesus says, go. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Here is what I would offer to us this afternoon. If Jesus can actually be present to a blind beggar on the side of the road, how can Jesus be present with us today? How do we not only follow him blindly, but see exactly where he is going? God is present in the world and has power to deliver on the promises if we simply make room. Those who claim closeness to Jesus may have to guard against co-opting God's power into the world system. We have to remember what it's like to be seen by God and create opportunities for others to be seen. We also have to understand that following Jesus is not glamorous and does not take us into the gilded, pretty places. It takes us to the margins and it takes us to the places where people have been lost and forgotten. It takes us to the places where it's dangerous to come and worship God and say, I am a member of a particular faith because someone might use that to pull on your door and take your life. Following Jesus is not glamorous, it's dangerous. It's full of unexpected turns, but it is worth every step on the journey. Following Jesus is never a thing that you do by yourself. Following Jesus is a thing that we do as a community. The question that Bartimaeus asks is a gift to all of us. He asks simply for his sight to be restored. In what ways do we need to ask Jesus to restore our sight? What are the things that have gotten out of focus? Who are the people who have been blurred in the margins of our prayer lives? Who are the ones we have shushed when we have had the mic? Who are the ones we need to invite in and to invite closer? Who are the ones who need to hear? He's calling you. Who are the ones we get to say, Jesus is calling you? Who are the ones we get to fulfill the promise for and say, come, come with us. Come celebrate with us that Jesus is calling and has called, is healing and has healed. And part of the way that Jesus heals is that he takes us from being people who have 6 degrees of separation. I know everyone in this room by 6 other people. There is some kind of way that we're connected, and Jesus removes the 6 degrees of separation and turns it into 360 degrees of integration and turns it into a community. The miracle is not just for the blind man, it is for everyone on the scene that day. And Jesus suggests that this is what we can do. Jesus never makes mention again of the blind man. He never makes mention of Bartimaeus. He never makes mention of the man whose name probably was not Bartimaeus. I like to call him George. George never shows up in the gospel again. But we know that he's in the community. We know that he continues to follow. And so that then becomes our way in. Once we've been invited in, our job is to follow the way. How do we find the way? Community lights the way. There are several songs that we could sing, but one that I think many people know. When you sing "This Little Light of Mine," always remember that your light is not the only one shining. Remember that if each of us has a little light that shines, we bring light into darkness. We light the way for those who are grieving, who don't understand how their relatives could survive the Holocaust but can't survive Pittsburgh. We light the way for those who are afraid to go into Kroger to buy groceries because they thought it was a grocery store and now it's a dangerous place. We light the way for those who go to their mailboxes not sure if their voting affiliation puts them in danger of receiving a pipe bomb. We light the way. And we tell darkness, we see you, but we are not afraid of you. We see you, but we won't shrink back from you. We see you, but we are the light. You don't comprehend the light. You also don't overcome the light. In community, in the song that we're going to sing together in just a moment, we find that in the community is where Jesus thrives and Jesus does the work of healing. And when Jesus begins to heal us, we become the bridge over whatever the troubled water is. I will be your bridge today. You have my back. Walk across my back to safety. Be lit by the light that is in me, that is the light of God. Make your way to a safe place. But I ask only this, that when I can't find my way, when my own light grows dim, promise me that you will also be my bridge, because troubled water is a guarantee. But bridge building is a commitment to wholeness and to healing. Like a bridge over troubled water, Jesus has already laid himself down. We lay ourselves down and make our way to the new beginning that awaits. Thanks be to God.